We'd like to analyze the issue, a very serious and practical contemporary halachic issue of entering into a church or a mosque or anywhere near it, and to create some sort of framework, halachic framework, for studying this. If you know, there's a sefer called Hegyone HaParsha, which was authored by one of the contemporaries, in which he tries to connect halacha and issues to the parasha. So for parashas Va'era, the Hegyone Halacha of Rav Aryeh David Wasserman discusses what he calls the Isur Knisa L'Makom Avodah Zarah. And of course we're going to have to touch on the issue of the status of Christianity, of Islam, and are their temples and churches considered a makom avodah zarah? The source, the basic source for, of course, the issue of churches and mosques is going to be avodah zarah. That doesn't surprise us. On daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, going on to Yud Zayin Amud Beis, the Gemara begins by interpreting a pasuk in Mishle. Shlomo Melch says, "Harcheik me'oleha darkecha, v'al tikrav el pesach besa." And the Gemara takes apart this pasuk by splitting it in half. The first half of which is directed to oleha, means a makom of avodah zarah, makom of minus. Stay far away, Shlomo Melch warns us, from a makom of avodah zarah. And in the second part, the second half of this pasuk, Al Tikrav Al Pesach Besa, is a reference to a makom of znus. And so we have here these two major prohibitions of idolatry and immorality, and we have to stay far away from Pesach Besa Shel Zona, from Pesach Avodah Zarah, makom Avodah Zarah. Rav Chisda says, "Al tikrav kama arba am." Stay away 4 amos from even the Pesach of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara tells a story about Rav Chanina and Rav Yonasan. They were on the way. They got to a crossroads, Hani Treit Shvili. One, if they took a right turn, would lead at the end of the road to a temple dedicated to idol worship, and the other road on the left side would lead at the end to a Beis Zonos. And where should they go? One wanted to say, "Let's go to Avodas Kochavim, and we will nachis Yitzrei." Rashi says, "Nishchot Hayetzer." Let's expose ourselves to this danger, and we'll overcome Hayetzer. We'll get extra points for that. And the other one says, "No. We don't try to expose ourselves to Avodah Zarah. On the other hand, maybe there's an advantage of going down the path that leads to Avodah Zarah, because the Anshei Knesset HaGdola," the Gemara tells us in the Sanhedrin, "Bikshu Rachamim V'Nimsar B'Yadam Varguhu." They destroyed the Yetzer Hara, which is so powerful and overwhelming for Avodah Zarah. And therefore, there is no real challenge if we go down that path, and maybe that's the way we should go, because the challenge and the powerful allurement of the Yetzer Hara for Znus is something that we won't be able to overcome. Tosus here, Dibra Maschil Nasal, on the top of Yud Zayin Amud Beis, derives from this story, as related by the Gemara, that Derech Laharchik Mipesach Avodas Kochavim Kol Ma Sheyochol. Even though Rav Chisda establishes the minimum shira 4 amos, but one should stay far away from the Pesach Avodah Zarah as far as he can. And if we turn back to the Gemara on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, the Gemara actually identifies 5 major temples in 5 different cities. And one of those is called Arabia, which sounds like an Arabic kind of a temple. We'll come back to that a little bit later when we discuss the question of entering into a mosque. But what we really have to focus our attention on is the Mishnah on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Ir sheyesh bo avodas kochavim. In the case of a city that has inside of it a temple for the worship of idolatry, although chutzal amuta, you're allowed to remain outside the limits of the city, but you're not allowed to enter into the city itself. If, on the other hand, the avodas kochavim was brought outside the city, then tocha muta, you're allowed to enter into the city. So if the city is hosting a temple for avodas zarah, don't go into the city. And the Mishnah goes on to say, Ma'u lelech l'sham. What happens if he's going down a path towards the avodas kochavim, but not for the sake of ending up in the avodas kochavim, just to get it to a 90-degree angle where he can go to another pathway and get to his objective? And the Mishnah establishes bizman shaderech miyuchedes lioso makom. In a case clearly where the road will lead and only lead to avodas kochavim, that you have to stay away from. But in yochol lahalich bo lemakom acher, if he needs to walk down this road in the direction of avodas kochavim, but never to reach the avodas kochavim, but rather to take a turn to the right or to the left in order to get to the place that he has to get to, that's mutter. Now, what is the reason and what is the underlying yesod here of the Iser entering into a city with avodas kochavim? So let's begin with the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos here in Avodah Zarah. The Rambam says, Amru mal lelech l'sham sheyosim osa derech lelech misham lizulasa. Is he allowed to go on this road in order to reach another road? The Rambam says that to enter into the city itself, if that's where the road is going to take him, and that city hosts Avodah Zarah, also that for sure is prohibited. Kol shekein lo dur bo, and how much more so goes without saying to live in such a city. Kol shekein liskar bo, milashin schora, in order to do business in that city. Stay away, says the Rambam, from a city that has avodas kochavim, and the Rambam doesn't qualify it. The Rambam says, "Lefichach yoda lecha shekol ir shel uma sheyesh lem ba beis tifla." Any city of any nation that houses a beis tifla, which means a beis avodas kochavim, is below suffolk. There's no question, says the Rambam, "Osa ir asur lavar baba kavana, to travel through that city is forbidden. The culture can lauder, how much more so to live in that city." The Rambam at this point takes a little bit of a pause, and having now already established an absolute prohibition about entering into the city and certainly living in the city, he asks himself the question, but what about us? So the Rambam comes from Spain. I mean, again, at the end of his life he was in the Arabic countries, he was in Egypt, but during the thrust of his life, he was in Spain, which was a Christian country. He lived in Toledo. He lived amongst the Christians. Says the Rambam of Anachnu, you'll ask me, what are we doing living in these cities? Tachas Yideim, we live under the noses, so to speak, of these Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Bavanosenu, and surely we have to do tshuva for that. The Shochnim B'Artzom, and we live amongst the inhabitants and the cities. Anusim. The Rambam has to find some sort of a justification, as weak as it is in the Rambam's frame of reference, it's anusim. But niskayim banu, unfortunately, we have lived to experience what is, in a sense, a metaphysical curse of God in Dvarim, Parashas Vaschan, Vavaditem Shom Elohim Acherim, Maisiya De Odom, Eitz Va'emen. It's as if we are worshipping Avodah Zarah. Then the Rambam says, "V'im ha'ir dina kain." If the halachic prohibition applies to entering into the city, kal v'chomer, much more so, beis avodas kochavim atzmo, entering into the temple itself. She also kimat l'rosa. I would say we shouldn't even be able to see the temple. we should be so far away. Although again, as we saw before, the absolute minimum requirement says Rav Chisda is Arba Amos, but Tosus points out Laharchik Kol Mashi Yochol, and the Rambam says Kimat Shelo LeRosa V'Kol Shekein LiKonespo. So the Rambam, in a certain sense, has gradations of Isur here. The most severe Isur would be entering into the Mokom Avodah Zarah, into the temple itself. You drop down a little bit if you're at the outside, and then you drop down another level if you enter into the city. That's also prohibited. And the only reason the Rambam could justify us living in these cities is because of Anusim Anachnu. These are circumstances beyond our control. So that's the Rambam. And we should know that this halacha of the prohibition to enter into the city of Avodas Kochav is not just brought down in the Mishnah, but it's brought down in the Poskim. Starting with the Rambam going to the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam has in Hilchas Akum, Perek Tes, Halacha Yud, the Rambam writes, Halacha Tes Ir Sheyesh Ba'avodas Kochavim Mutal Lahalech Chutzala, you're allowed to walk outside the city, but also Likonis Litocha, you're not allowed to enter into the city. So that's clearly not just the Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnayis, but the Rambam in his Yad HaZokah, the Mishnah Torah as well. The Tur in Siman Kuf Mem Tes writes, Ir Sheyesh Ba Alil Asur Lelech Sham. Unless, he says, in Aderech Miuchad Liosa Ir Levad Kigon She'en Derech Kvusha Mikan L'Sham El Osa Lir Avam Yesh Ma'avar Lav Avam Yisham Lir Acheres Mutar. Fine. So if you're on the road, and that road ultimately leads to the Alil, but you are only taking that as a crossroad to get closer to the place where you can take the pathway that you need, that's okay. So again, just to summarize what we have so far, and we'll see this again in Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya Simon Kuf Mem Tes, we have a Mishnah and a code that prohibits us from entering into a city that has Avodas Kochavim. And in the Rambam's frame of reference, that's an absolute Issur. There are no limitations, there are no explanations, it's just prohibited. We're not allowed to go there. If you take a look, on the other hand, in Rashi, in Avodah Zarah, Rashi indicates on that Mishnah of Ir Sheyesh Ba Avodas Kochavim, Rashi says that Yom Edom, it's a prohibition entering into the city that has this temple when it is a celebration of the idol worships on those holidays. Is then you have to avoid entering into the city. And Rashi, if you take a look a little fast forward on Daf Yud Bezam and Aleph Osu Likones Litocha, Rashi says Mishum Chashad. The Amri, people will say Iu Nami Ozel Lemiflach. Everybody is swarming, is gravitationally pulled into the city on the day of their idol worship celebration. It's a holiday, and you're going into the city. It looks a little bit like you're joining them, the masses, and pardon the pun, for the worship of Avodah Zarah. So Rashi, therefore, severely limits this prohibition, not the way the Rambam said it, because Rashi would probably have less of a problem justifying living in such a city. But Rashi limits the Isur that's codified by the Mishnah of Ir Sheyesh Ba Avodas Kochavim, you're not allowed to enter into the city, to the case of Yom Edyom, which is the day of their holiday. If you take a look at the Tur whittles it down even further. And he quotes Rabbeinu Yonah. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, Ir Sha'osim Sham Yom Iyad, that's their celebration for idols, Ein Holchim L'Sham Mishar Mekomos. And he writes, Rabbeinu Yonah, that the Isur is based on Chashoda. But he says, Mairi Sha'osim Yerid Bi'oso Yom Iyad. On that celebration day, they make it into a market day. And there's a twofold purpose here. Number one, they want to get as many idol worshippers as they can to join in the celebration in honor of the holiday of the idolatry. And number two, what they do is they set up a market to make it financially attractive to come into the city. It says Rabbi Yona, Lefisha Akum, Miskabtsim, Mikama Makomos. People are joining together, gathering together into this city from many different other areas. Holchim Sham. Asur. Why? Shaloye nira ke echad meyam shaholek sham l'schora ulechvod ha'alil. Even though he may be going there just for schora, but the platform, the agenda, the objective of getting people to come there for schora is l'chvod ha'alil. So it looks like he's also giving cover for the alil. Now, how do we paskin? Does the tour accept this view of Rabbeinu Yonah? And he writes, V'chein hi maskonas adoni avi harashzal. So we have Rambam, Rashi, and we have Rabbeinu Yonah in the Rosh. Rambam holds it's an absolute unconditional issur to enter into the city. Rashi limits it to a Yom Ejom, a celebration day, and Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rosh agrees with Rabbeinu Yonah, limits it to the case of not only Yom Ejom, but it's also a day of Schora. And if you take a look in the Shulchan Aruch, he writes in Kuf Mem Tes in Yoredei Ir Sha'osin Bo Yerid B'Yom Chagam Va'Ovdei Kochom Miskabtsim Mikamim Komos Va'Holchim Sham L'Chvod Avodos El Kochavim. And then he goes on to say, Asur Likonis L'Tocha, you're not allowed to enter into the city unless it's a Holech Mimokom L'Mokom, and it's not a Derech HaMiyuchad La. It's just the derech sha'ovrim sham mi'ir li'ir. So that in the Shulchan Aruch itself, the Mechaber doesn't whisper a word about the Rambam Shita. Fascinating though is the Shach. The Shach quotes the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos verbatim, word for word, from beginning to end, without adding any commentary. It's as if to say, okay, the Shulchan Aruch has his Shita, but we have to worry about the Rambam Shita. I don't know. But in any event, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Kuf Nun, Mitzvah l'srachek miderech alilim dalad amos. Fine. So we have the three shitos about the Easter of entering into the city that has a temple of Avodah Zarah. The Rambam is the most machmir, and we saw that the Rambam codifies this in Hilchas Avodas Kohanim Perek Tes. The Ravid in his Hasogas writes, Omar Avram, b'tosefta mefarish le biyurid u'bemasu matan imohem. And the Ravid is showing us that there's a basis for Rabbeinu Yonah's Shita in the Tosefta. The whole Easter of entering into the city is limited to the case of yurid u'masu matan. So the Masu Matan itself is somehow lichvod ha'elil. So we have that Ravid. We saw that the Shulchan Aruch himself, as opposed to the Shach, quotes Rabbeinu Yonah and leaves out the Rambam Shita. Fine. That's what we have so far. Now, if a person wants to take up residence, or domicile, in a city that has Havodas Kochavim in it, the Rambam says that we only did such a thing because we were anusim, and therefore that is generally prohibited. Now, the Shulchan Aruch writes that the Isur of passing through a city that has Havodas Zarah on the day of their celebration and their marketplace does not apply to those who live in the city. They happen to be in the city. The Easter applies to those who don't live in the city and are coming into the city, oddly enough, on this very day, that's Lichvod Avodas Kochavim. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch would say that entering into the city from outside the city, for someone who doesn't live in the city, it's like Lavdel getting parking in the old city if you don't have a permit because you live in the old city. He says, Ben Achsanai is awesome, but Ben Ir Mutter. And even in the case of Achsenoy, if he's part of a Shayor and they're trying to get to another place and they're just going through, you know, that road in the city in order to get to where they have to get to, that's mutter. Now, all this is with regard to entering into the city, a prohibition that's enjoined by the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Alphabet Beis. But what about entering into the temple itself? Well, before we get into that question, let's talk about what's called Chatzar Avodas Kochavim, the Chatzar of a temple, which means the backyard. And here we have a Machlokas Rishonim, which is codified by the Ramah. The Ramah is in Kuf Memtes Se'if Beis, and he writes, Chatzer shal avodas kochavim, the yard of the temple. Yesh omer, according to the first opinion, these are the mekilim. Dino ki'ir shal avodas kochavim. And therefore, since we've already paskined that as far as the city of avodas kochavim, the only iser applies on yom ed yom and when they are miskansim l'schora, those limitations would apply to the chatzer of Avodas Kochavim as well, meaning the chatzer of Avodas Kochavim has the din of an ear. However, yesh omrim shebechol inyan asur. So basically what we have here in front of our eyes, according to the Ramah, is we have three categories. We have the city that houses Avodas Kochavim, a temple. We have the temple itself, and in the middle we have this chatzer. And there's a Shnayim Oksim Lutal, is two ways of classifying and defining the Chatzer. Some say the Chatzer Lekul is like the ear, which means that if the people are not getting together there for the purpose of Avodah Zarah, then you'd be allowed to enter into the Chatzer. However, the second Yesh Omrim of the Ramah is more Machmir and defines the status of the chatzar is that as equivalent to that of the city itself, of the temple itself. And therefore will be also to enter into the chatzar of the church of the temple, even if it's not a day of celebration, even if it's not part of a schora lichvodom. And therefore, according to the second opinion of Ramah, the only heter we would have for entering into the chatzar of Avodas Kochavim, insofar as it has the din of the makom Avodah Zarah, meaning of the church itself, would only be if he's over mimakom lemakom. He happens to be going through the chatzar in order to get to where he has to get to. Now, after presenting these two shitos, the Ramah adds, midas chasidus yisrachik min leilich bo im yesh. Even if he has another way to go, which is much more, is much longer of a route, nevertheless he should prefer to go that route rather than cutting through the Chatzar of Avodas Kochavim. Now in this case of Chatzar of Avodas Kochavim, how do we paskin? Does the Ramah indicate one way or the other? He quotes two opinions as to whether to define and classify the chatzer of the Avodas Kochavim as the city or as the temple itself. There doesn't seem to be in the Ramah any final hachra l'maisa. However, I would like to point out to you that Rav Eliezer Waldenberg, Zechonu Livracha, his Shut Tzitz Eliezer, invokes a general rule, a methodological principle that applies to the Ramah in terms of Psikas Halach, and he writes, Yadua, we know, and it's well known, the Heichlisha Ramah quotes of Yesh Omrim v'Yesh Omrim. Whenever the Ramah quotes two Yesh Omrims, Halacha ki Yesh Omrim Basra, he organizes deliberately that the last of the two is the one that we paskin like. And therefore, says the Shut Tzitz Eliezer, Lamadu Mikan, our maskana here is that Osir Midina Bechol Inyam Likonis Lechatzer Shal Avodas Kochavim, because the Chatzer Avodas Kochavim has the same status as the temple itself. Afilu Bismancha Eina Akum Miskabtsim Shom Litarposam. And the Gaon, in his comments on Shulchan Aruch, quotes the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayis as the source for the halacha that you're only allowed to use the chotzer as a derech mavar l'makom acher in order to get to another place, but other than that, there's no heter of entering into the chotzer of Avodas Kochavim. He writes that even if he's only going there to shorten his route, if he's a chassid, is mishumidus chassid sheshalachmish olikonis lechotzer afilu, even for the sake of getting through the chotzer to cut over to the other pathway. In yeshal derech acheretz, he should go that way. And basically, the final conclusion of the Tzitz Eliezer, based on the second opinion, the second Yesh Omrim in the Ramah, is that to enter into a chotzer of a church would be absolutely forbidden. He gives the example of someone who wants to enter into the chotzer, the yard of the church, in order to get a view. You know, the churches were usually high up, so you go all the way to the edge of that yard outside the church. Never forbidden, heaven forbidden, going into the church, but to the outside limits in the yard in the chotzer, and you get from there a beautiful view of the city below. You can see this in Toledo even today. And that is prohibited based on the second opinion that identifies the chotzer Beis Avodas Kochavim with the Beis Avodas Kochavim itself, in which case there's no heter to enter into the church nor into the courtyard. Now, I mentioned at the outset that there's a sefer called Hegyonei HaParsha from Rav Wasserman, and he writes, after quoting the two opinions in the Ramah, he writes, Nafkemina ben shtei ashitos hamuvos b'Ramah, shneim b'shem yesh omrim. He writes that also likonis lechotzik de lahashkif al anov, that one nafkemina would be that if we accept the second yesh omrim in the Ramah, we cannot enter into the yard of the church in order to see the beautiful view below. And then he writes, to expand a little bit on this nafkemina, about the chotzer of the Vatican. Outside the Vatican, there's a very large, extensive, and very popular for tourists place to visit called the chotzer, where they have Bernini's columns and so forth and so on. And he writes, le'inyon knisa lechotzer haVatican b'Roma shelo biyom chagam, meaning not on a Sunday, you know, when the Pope comes out to give his drasha, but on any of the other days. He says that it would be okay according to the first Yesh Omrim, because he's going there to see the beautiful columns. He's not interested in any sort of Avodas Kochavim. However, according to, and that would be mutar on any day except Yom Rishon, because Yom Rishon the Chatzer Avodas Kochavim is called a Yom Ejom. However, according to the second Yesh Omrim, which is brought by the Ramah, Bechol Inyan Oso Likones Lechatzer Avodas Kochavim im ein derech lavar sham, and therefore he says yesh leso likonis lechotzer haVatican b'chol yom, on any day of the week, mishum shehu lo banui lavar derech sham l'makom acher, you can't travel, you can't walk through the chotzer haVatican, the courtyard of the Vatican, in order to get to another place. And therefore, based on the psak like the second yesh omrim, we should forbid it. And he says that even according to the first Yesh Omrim, it might be forbidden, because since on Sunday the Pope gives his drasha there in the Chatzar of Vatican, he says therefore you shouldn't visit that place, because that place becomes he says the following. He says on Sunday you can't visit that place, because Yesh Bishmias Drasha Safar's Din Avodah Zarah, listening to the Pope's presentation, is itself a kind of Avodah Zarah. And then he wants to say that Shimush Berachva Zu Tzorcha Drosha Ein Anasis Derech HaRoy. He says since it's a very regular, it's a regular Sunday procedure or protocol that the Pope will address the people with his drasha in the chotzer of the Vatican, and therefore he prohibits it even on the other days of the week, even according to the first Yesh Omrim, because then it becomes like a church itself. It's a makom of Avodas Kochavim, because that's where the Pope gives his presentation. Now he asks the question here in this Sefer Yonei HaParsha, what is the din of a Jew who wants to enter into a church for art, to enjoy the artwork of the church? And he says, therefore, based on everything that we've said before, if you're going into the church itself, that's absolutely awesome. We never had any heter for going into the church. You know, the Rambam says you're not even to live in the city that has this church in it, but certainly not to enter the church. We saw that the Rambam's language is that's much more chamor. And therefore, even if a person is entering into the church, not chas v'shalom for worship purposes, so to give special honor to the Avodah Zorah, but simply in order to enjoy the artwork, that itself would be prohibited. Now, again, a museum is not the same as a temple. It's not designated for idol worship, although I would highly recommend avoiding those galleries that have, you know, the blood and, you know, the different depictions, and there are zillions of them of Oso Aish, you know, and the Immaculate Mother and all that. Leave those galleries out. That's mamish like walking into a church. And the Tzitz Eliezer writes that he remembers from his childhood, and this is the minute that I got from my wife and our family, when they had to pass by Al Yad Knessia, anywhere in the close vicinity of the church, is then the Muvugarim, the older person, would warn us as children not to look in that direction, to run past the church as fast as possible, and Lomar, and to declare three times, Shakes the Shakseru Kicherim Hu. And apparently the source for this is what we saw in the Rambam, that the Rambam says, you know, don't even look towards the church. You know, we want to stay as far away as we can from the church. Now, one of the questions that we would like to raise is Pikuach Nefesh. Would it be permissible to enter into a church for the sake of Pikuach Nefesh? And on this topic we have a tshuva of the Abia Omer of Rav Avadia Yosef, and Rav Avadia comes to the following conclusion. He says that it all boils down to a comment of the Shach. What do I mean? The Ritva, first the Rashba, and then the Ritva, I mean, they both say the same thing. They establish that entering into a church is Avizrayu Davodah Zarah. We know that for three cardinal sins, one has to give up his life, and there's no heter v'chayvim of pikuach nefesh, and one of his avodah zorah. Then we have something called the expansionary rule called avizrayu avodah zorah. We might talk about selling trees to over the avodah zorah on their holidays. And therefore, if the issue of walking into a church is equivalent to avizrayu avodah zorah, then one would have to give up his life rather than run in there. So he's running away from those who are trying to kill him. And the only way he can save his skin is by entering into a makom avodah zarah. So here the shach that we saw before, but in this case Sif Beis in Kuf Mem Tes, he writes, Kosav Atur B'Shem HaRashba, the afilu al iske rab v'afilu al pikuach nefesh osu likones bo. Even to save one's life, it is prohibited to enter into a church. Rambo said it's something for us that's very important for us to realize. But then the Shach himself writes, Aval Haran Cholik. The Ran disagrees with the Rashba, even though the Ritva also agrees with the Rashba. But the Ran argues, and he says, Sakonis the Fosh Shari. And even though there's a certain sugi about Mayon, there's a certain Mayon that they use for Avodah Zorah, and it's called Avizrayu Avodah Zorah. He says, Lo Domi Lamayon Dinirika Oved. In the case of the person who bows down to drink from the Mayon, he looks like he's worshipping an idol. This reminds us, of course, of Chana Mesheva Banel, especially the last of the seven, the child. Mashenkin Hocha Eno Nire. He doesn't necessarily look like he's going to worship in the church. Elika Holech La'avod, he's on his way, but he's not actually doing an action that looks like avoda. So again, although it does come under a very severe issur, but it doesn't have as, you know, that severe, that stringent of a geder of of Israel to Avod Zorah, and therefore the Shach is Matir. The Tshuva of the Abia Omer concludes that we can accept the view of the Ran as quoted by the Shach. However, in the second part of this Tshuva, he has an interesting discussion about whether the church itself is Avodah Zarah. He says the following, that it's part of the church service to bow to the cross. Now, what's the status of the cross? The Ramah writes in Kuf Mem Aleph, Tsuros Shesi V'arev, which is the cross, Semishtachvim Lahem, and the Christians bow down to the cross, Dinom Kitselem, has the same status as an idol. The Asur Banah, and an idol that's worshipped, is Asur Banah. So the Tselem itself is Asur Banah, below Bittul, unless there's a process called Bittul, that itself is a discussion, but right now this is the cross that's being used for worship, and therefore there's no Bittul. He says that crosses that are worn around the neck, he writes the Ramah, Aval Osam Shesivon Shetolim Bitzaval Zikaron, meaning to constantly be aware of their God, Lo Mikri Tselem, it's not something that you bow down to, it's only worn as an adornment, as a memory device around your neck, Mut. Says Rav Avad Yosef, based on this Ramah in Kuf Memal, became a Shetzura Shesivon Shetolim Bibes Knesiyam, He Avodah Zarah Gmura, the cross itself is Avodah Zarah, says the Ramah. It has the status of a Tselem, and they're bowing down to it. And I believe, to the best of my knowledge, that's part of every church service, even in a Protestant church. Asur Banah, the Tselem has a din of Avodah Zarah Gmura, it's also Banah. Vadai, Shebeis Tiflosam, that house that is dedicated to bowing down to the Tselem, to the cross, is Karu Be'avodah Zarah. That itself is called a Makom Avodah Zarah. So all the laws that apply in a very strict way, enjoining us from entering into a Beis Avodah Zarah, apply to a church as well. And the Pre-Sader, which is one of the later poskim, he claims that even if the church would not have any crosses in them, I don't know if there is such a thing, then it would still be prohibited to enter into the Beis Avodah Zarah. Again, whether it's prohibited even to save one's life, as the Rashba and the Ritva say, because it's bechlal of Israel Avodah Zarah Yehorik Al Yava, or even if we could be more lenient like the Shach, based on the Ran and others, that you're allowed to enter into a Beis Avodah Zarah Mishum Pikuach Nefesh, it's not Begeder of Israel Avodah Zarah. But nevertheless, we certainly understand that this prohibition against entering into a church is a very serious prohibition, and Shakeis Tishakzenu. The Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnah that we mentioned at the beginning of this year writes that Im Ha'ir Din Ken Kavachomer Din Beis Avodas Kochav Matzmo Shu Asolani Kimat Lerosa. If you remember, the Rambam said it's almost prohibited to see a church. And there's no doubt the Rambam is referring to churches, because that's where he recites his confession about living in a city where there's Avodah Zarah. And as far as entering into a church, this is an interesting discussion in the Sefer Hasidim about entering into a church not for the sake of Pikuach Nefesh. That we said, according to the Shach and the Nehem and the Ran, is mutter, but entering in there for business purposes. The Sefer Hasidim tells a story, Nochri Echad HaYechayv LeYehudi Kesef. The guy owed money to the Jew, K'shaya HaTova Mimenu Chovo, whenever the Jew asked for his money back, Haya Nochri Boreach LeBeis Tiflasam. Sure enough, the guy would run to the church, and he knew very well the Jew would not enter into the church. Pam Achas Nikshal HaYehudi, the Yehudi confesses that he was so eager to get his money that he entered into the church. And Shuv Nischarid Al Kach, and he does tshuva, now Shol L'Chacham L'Horos Oder Tshuva V'Yeshiva HaChacham, this is all in the Sefer Hasidim, Shebechol Shana V'Yoso Yom Shenitnas V'Yisakor V'Ozor Yis'ane, he should take upon himself to fast annually on the anniversary of that day that he entered into a church. V'chein ha'yinoi kol yom. And as a result of this recommendation of the Chacham, that's exactly what the Jew did. Again, getting back to the tshuva of Rav Avadya Yosef and Yabdia Omer, he brings the opinion of many poskim who allow Yisrael Sheishal of Noshim Rabbi Likanis the base tiflos and Linotzel Me'atfis of the Mishpat Hamalchus. They allow entering into a church for one of two reasons, either to collect money or to save themselves from being caught by the government. The government is trying to extract money from the Jew. However, he does write that from the Shulchan Aruch it would seem not like that. And there is no heter to enter into the base of Avodah Zarah except for Pikuach Nefesh. Now, getting back to the Hegyoni HaParsha of Rabbi Aryeh Wasserman, he writes that Ha'im yesh heter likanes lebeis avodah zarah mishum eva. As we find in Chazal many times that there was permission granted to do things which normally would have been prohibited for the sake of avoiding creating enmity and some sort of rebound from the goyim. So now what we have is we have masumatan biyom chagam. Let's say, for example, we mentioned earlier that during the period of time before their and perhaps even during their celebration of the Avodah Zarah, they have this marketplace, and you want to come in there to do business, not because you want to give cover to the Avodah Zarah, but because you want to avoid Eva. And he comes to the conclusion that Lamrot, despite the fact that Yesh Poskim, there are some Poskim, Sheitiru Masu Matnim Ha'akum Biyom Ejom, and why? Because to avoid Eva. Nevertheless, he says, Lamaisa, Halach Lamaisa says, Rubam Kekulam Shalat Poskim, the vast majority of Poskim, Sovrim, She'ein Lahatir Knisa Lebeis Avodah Zarah Mishum Eva. You're not allowed to enter into a church and tell us, well, you want to avoid enmity and getting the goyim angry at you. And we mentioned before the pre-Sodeh and also the Abia Omer. They write against some of the brass of the Rabbanut. He says, Ishe Tzibur Yehudim She Mitokev Tafkidom Nelotzen Lofir B'Knisios, as part of their official title, like a chief rabbi or something of that sort, they end up being invited and expected to show up at the churches for various, various tikkasim, like, for example, a funeral procession or so forth and so on. And Rabbi Yosef speaks out against this in very harsh terms. Is usur lasso zos be isur muchlat afil b'mokom shadover ol ligrom li eva klapi ama Yehudi. Even if it means that the goyim will hate us, because why don't we enter into that church at least for the sake of a funeral of some head of state who's and Kal v'chomer, says Rabbi Yosef, l'rav b'Yisrael, for a rabbi in Israel, sheyelech l'sham, he goes together with the rabbis that escort him and accompany him from the Rabbanut, and he says, b'tal shmul shevish, and they go with the official black gowns of the Rabbanut, the glibid rabbanon, havadi sheyesh b'zeh chas v'sholom chilu Hashem, v'tzorch l'sazer b'chol oz, v'satzuma, v'satzumos, l'vatel aminig ha'ra hazeh. He equates this minig of going into churches with Gehenna, and that has to be avoided at all costs. The final conclusion of the Hegyoni HaParsha is that why, on the one hand, are the poskim being makil as far as Masu Matan with Goyim, according to some poskim, on Yom Ejom, even on the day of the celebration, but allowing this Mishum Eva, but to enter into a church in order to avoid eiva is absolutely forbidden. So there's no heter halacha l'maisa for entering into a church for in order to avoid adverse responses or enmity on the part of the goyim. That's absolutely forbidden. But there are poskim who allow entering into the environment of the church for purposes of business. And he explains that the difference between the two is, number one, entering into a Beis HaVodah Zarah, into the temple itself, is much more chamor than entering into the marketplace where they have Masu Matan Biyom Ejam. He further states that by not going into their churches, that's not really going to create any enmity because the goyim will appreciate that we don't enter into churches. And he further says that in our time we don't have to be so afraid of eiva because there is a valid system of courts and justice. There's not just hefkevelt where they just kill you on the spot. Now, as far as entering into a church in order to see those beautiful items of art, the Igros Moshe, Moshe Feinstein, Yerodei Chilukimel, is fighting a tremendous battle against that. And he says, don't go into a church, don't even dream of going into a church. It's almost a hashchasa in amudim and deos to go into a church, even if you're telling me you're going there in order to enjoy, you know, the artwork. So I'm thinking of the Sistine Chapel and the Michelangelo on top. The Tshuva of Moshe Feinstein is absolutely clear. Now, I want to point out to you that not only was Ramosha fighting this battle, there was an agenda against Christianity, but my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik also had a battle against Christianity. And anytime there was an issue about getting involved with the Christians in some sort of a religious context, he was always opposed to it. Ecumenism, no, there's no room for dialogue with the Christian church about, you know, some sort of a common Judeo-Christian heritage. None of that. You know, stay far away from a church. The tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein goes as far as to saying, I mean, that tshuva that we did was in Yoredeya, but in Aruch Chaim, Chelek Daled, he writes, as far as an ulam, you know, some sort of a hall, or a migrash, some sort of a field that belongs to the church, and the children wanted to go into this ulam or to play out in this yard, and Rav Moshe is absolutely opposed to it. He says, "Afal pisha ain't shom tzuros," even if there are no pictures of Yashka there, no sculptures or whatever. But harchek me'alecha drachecha ksiv. We have to, as Shlomo Mel said in Mishlei, stay away from the derech of Avodas Kochav, Zuminus be Avodas Zora. And he says, moreover, the missionaries of the Christians are there lingering to try to get hold of the children. We should make sure that the children stay away from these places. Give them their own fields to play in. So all that is in Rav Moshe Feinstein, no allowance to enter into a church for the artistic content of the church, no allowance for children to even play in those areas, whether it's an ulam or a migrash, which belongs to the church. The issue of voting in a church, which is quite common in America, did not, as far as I know, come up in the tshuvas of Rav Moshe Feinstein. However, getting back to the Hegyonei HaParsha, he writes in the name of the Shut Yaskil Avdi, Shadover Poshet LeYisur. And again, I'm not sure exactly what the minhag is here, but he's saying that you're not allowed to enter into a church if that's where the voting booths are. I don't know what an Orthodox Jew is going to do about voting if this becomes the minhag HaMedina. Okay, but let's hope that that situations of that sort are rare. Now, what about, here Rav Moshe was asked about a building that belongs to the Christians, It's near their church, but it's a separate, independent building, and it's not attached to the church itself. Can we use that building, let's say if we pay rent, as a binyan ha'yeshiva, as a place to learn Torah? And he writes Pashut Sha'asa, and he says Aflat Shov B'Dovid. You know, don't even let such a thought cross your mind. The Aflagavdu binyan nifrad mi beit ha'tifla, even though it's a separate, independent building. It's like people who are very wealthy have their main building for them and their family, and then they have an annex which is for guests, a guest house, and that guest house is an independent building. He says, "Mikavachu samach lebeis tifla shalhem." Since it's contiguous, it's right next door to the temple. Therefore, it has to be avoided. And how much more so if there's a tzlav, if there's some sort of a cross there? And he applauds the rabbanim who don't allow and don't sanction any renting of any building that's near the church and owned by the church for purposes of Jewish education. Then there's a tshuva from Rav Yaakov Etlinger, who's the Aruch Lener, who also wrote a book of tshuvas called the Binyan Tzion. Keep in mind, he was a German rabbi, and he was the Rebbe of Rav Shimshofar Hirsch. He speaks about tefillah or asiyas based knesses kavua b'mokum sheshimesh kodem l'chein avodah zarah. What if the place or the building was dedicated as a temple or as a church beforehand, but now it's no longer serving, functioning as a church, and we'd like to take this place and convert it into a synagogue? And he writes at the beginning of the tshuva that ein bozeh isur hanah me'avodah zarah. He's not violating isur hanah because the avodah zarah is gone. But he says nirek tzas lesar. He still doesn't want to allow building a shul in that former church. Kevan sheharei hispalu bo le'alil shalahem. Since that building was dedicated to idol worship, ve'omer la'avodah zarah eli ato. Anyone who declares that this idol is my god, hamakabel loha, is afil shaloba funav. Even if he does so, not in the presence of the idol itself, is mikri ovdei avodah zarah. So again, if the guy announces that this is his god, even though the god is not there, the idol is not there, that is an act of worshipping avodah zarah. And therefore, lechatchila vadi yesh lahachmir. In other words, if you're talking about a place where they worship the avodah zarah, don't try to convert that place into a synagogue, because that's where they worship their avodah zarah. However, he says li'esat sorech, if there's no other way of establishing a shul, a makom tefillah, except in that building, he says that it all depends. If the building initially was built not as a makom and as a base avodah zarah, but was built as a base dira, and then the Goyim designated it for their worship, now they want to sell it as a synagogue, that would be mutter. And we have a tshuva here from the Ein Yitzchak of Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Spector. The last on our list for today's shiur is to discuss entering into a mosque. And this is a great machlokas rishonim, and it comes down to the poskim. And it hinges on the fundamental issue as to whether the Islamics are considered idol worshippers. The Rambam, in his Tshuvas, is of the opinion, he's outspoken about the fact that the Yishma'elim in Islam are not worshipping idols. However, the other Rishonim, like the Eshkol and the Meiri, they focus on the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Yud Aleph Amud Beis, that identifies various places where there are temples for idol worship, one of which is Arabia, which is identified as a place for the Ishmaelim to worship, and that becomes a temple for Avodah Zarah. In other words, they are bowing down to Mohammed or to the, I don't know to whom, according to that opinion. The Ran, in fact, in Masechta Sanhedrin writes, Gam HaMeshuga, he's referring to to Mohammed of the Ishmaelim, Afal Pisha Enom Toim Achreim Lasosim Elohus, even though the Ishmaelim don't call him a god, they only call him a prophet. Mikomakom Holu Mishtachvim Lifnehem. He says that they bow down in front of Mohammed. Again, I don't know what that means exactly. Mohammed is not alive anymore, but it's Ishtachavosh Elohus is Din Avodizor Yeshlem L'chol Dvar Isur Shal Avodizor. So the Ran is outspoken, equating the bowings of the Yishmaelim, which is for as a matter of service to Muhammad, as a Maisa Vodazora. Therefore, their houses of worship, their mosques, have the status of a Beis Vodazora. And the final psak, at least of the Tzitz Eliezer, although he's not the last word, as we'll soon see, is that Gam Miskad Shebo Mevatzim Avodosam, a mosque like a church where they implement their service in serving Mohammed, Yeshlo Gamkin Din Beis Avodazol Chol Dov Yasuli Kanis Hashem. So the Tzitz Eliezer is going to be very harsh and very strict about entering into a mosque. However, here's where we could rely, perhaps, on Rav Avadia Yosef, who writes in Yabia Omer that based on the Rambam's tshuva, Shehamizgadim shal harviim ein lahem din bate avodazor mutar likonis letocham. He writes, Afilu aran shomer hol mishtachim lifneim kavoda. Shel Elohus din avodizor yesh lahem yesh lomer she'ilu ayashmiyale kol ma shekosev arama b'tshuva. Rav Avadia Yosef wants to presume that the Ran was not aware of the tshuva of the Rambam. Had he been so, lo haya omer kein, he never would have presented. He would never have insisted that the hishtachavoyos of the Arabs is avodizor. Ubevaday arama moyabaki, says Rav Avadia Yosef, biyoser. The Rambam was well aware of the various religions, and he knew what the Islamic religion was all about, and we could rely on the Rambam. And based on this, Rav Avadia Yosef allows davening in the Ma'aras HaMachpelah, even though within that same structure the Arabs have made it into a mosque. Again, I would wonder whether or not there are different parts of the Ma'aras HaMachpelah, and you could split up the building into its various parts. But let's assume we see the building as one identified whole, indivisible. Remember, Rav Avadia Yosef is allowing Jewish prayer to take place in the Ma'aras HaMachpelah, even though it's used, that building is used as a mosque. And this is against the Shut Divrei Yatziv of the Kleisenberger Rebbe. He was very machmir, like we saw in Rav Eliezer Waldenberg, the Shut Tzitz Eliezer, with regard to mosques. So even with regard to mosques, you know, one might be advised to avoid entering into a mosque based on those Rishonim, but Rav Avadia Yosef has no compunction and no hesitation or inhibition to rely on the Rambam. He's the kingpin as far as identifying and understanding the nature of the worship of various religions, and especially in the case of Islam. Now, another discussion here, which again requires a tremendous amount of study, is the question of reform and conservative temples. Now, obviously, these are not temples for Avodah Zarah, but nevertheless, Rav Moshe Feinstein took a very strict view. This was a battle against the conservatives, against the reform, and he's opposed, Rav Moshe, to even renting a room in a conservative temple, a special room for Orthodox services. Now, we know historically that a lot of the Orthodox shuls began in conservative temples. You know, they had their own minyan downstairs in the basement, and then they broke away and established their own synagogue. But Rav Moshe doesn't allow it. And I know for a fact that Rav Soloveitchik himself did not allow someone to go into a conservative temple on Rosh Hashanah if he had no option of hearing the shofar anywhere else. Better to give up on a mitzvah d'oraisa of shofar than enter into a conservative temple. Now, as far as an ulam smachot, let's say, for example, you get invited to a wedding that's taking place in the ulam, the banquet hall that's in a conservative temple, Rav Moshe says, if you're not going for purpose of davening there in the conservative temple, you're going to participate in a wedding in the ulam in the building of the conservative temple. Then, since it's yadua, if everybody knows that there is such an ulam, and that's where they have mishnah, that's where they have suda, that's where they have chasanas, then there's no chashada, because everyone will understand that you're not going to pray in the conservative temple. And this is a big heter for many, many Orthodox Jews who have weddings in Cedarhurst, in the conservative temple there, I remember from my youth, and they are relying on this point that there's no chashada. What else does Rav Moshe say? He says that as far as entering into a chatzar of avodah zarah, which we discussed earlier, at a time when they're not joined, they're not gathering together for a service, he is machmir. And then he writes, "Mikomakom in our royal israchik min base knesset shalem biyoser." He says that even though technically there's no iser to enter into the conservative temple for the purpose of participating in a wedding in the banquet hall therein, but nevertheless, it is preferable to stay far away from their so-called synagogues. Ubefrat, and how much more so Adam Chashav, if it's a very important person and people look up to him, if he's a Talmud Chacham or he's a rabbi, yesh locha sheyit'u achadim lomar degam ha'adam ha'chashav ezeh mekarev osam ves beis ha'knesset shalem. He thinks that this rabbi is entering not for the purpose of participating in some sort of a synagogue service, but again, the rabbi, let's go for one more time, is not entering there for synagogue service, but they may think that, you know, such an Adam Chashav, he's coming to be Makariv them, maybe he'll go into their shuls and do Kiruv. So again, you could argue that according to Rav Moshe, if you're doing Kiruv in a conservative temple, as long as it's not part of that building, it's a, let's say, an educational or administrative wing of the building, that would be different than a chatzer avodah zarah. Says Rav Moshe, "Aval kevon she'eino davar dvar Israel zehirus larchok yisei lachshash tos mirachok yesh tzor gadol lefi daita gam adam chashiv yesh lo lahakir." So Rav Moshe does lead one to the opinion that we can leave the door open for an adam chashiv if he has a real tzorach to go there into the conservative temple. And again, we're not talking about a banquet because that was okay, but for purposes of kiruv, of teaching, and again, he's not participating, he's not even near the synagogue and its service, that should be taken under a shikul hadas, and the chashiv, the adam chashiv, should decide, you know, what might come out of this. We know, are they going to suspect him of, you know, in some way, advocating or recognizing the significance of the conservative temple. Now, as far as a reform synagogue, there's a tshuva of Moshe about whether or not you can rent a school or a place for a school, for a Jewish school, in a building of a reform synagogue. And Rav Moshe says if there's a separate entrance into that wing of the building, or if it's a building that's contiguous to the synagogue, to the Reform Temple, he says, "Ein ruach hachomim nochaymenu." He's not so thrilled about setting up a Jewish school in a Reform Temple. However, he says, "Ein lomar iser bara mefurash." There's no explicit iser on this, but nevertheless, harvi chashoshos. He thinks that maybe there's going to be something detrimental to the education of these young, impressionable children. Ki efshar leishev b'shchunasam. He says that you're not going to be able to be, you know, living under their nose, under their wings, in a building or in a room within their synagogue. And not, and you're not allowed to say a bad word about the reform, because, you know, Liganosum, that's a terrible thing. You're renting space in that building. And therefore, he says, Misragel v'mochel se'yaladim, the children, and you get used to thinking in their minds, ki gam hu beis ha-kneses, you know, because they're so, you know, used to going on a daily basis to study in that building, and it's called a synagogue, they're going to think that it has kedusha. And there are many other chashashas Rav Moshe is worried about by the influence of the Reformed temple. Now, again, I think he's opening up here in this tshuva to be more lenient in the case of a conservative temple. He says, "Vadai mitzvah klolis ika b'torah kedoshim tiyu." He says, although maybe the ika adin, you could set up a school in a Reformed temple, but nevertheless, there is a general overriding principle and a mitzvah called kedoshim tiyu. We should avoid this. The hezek, the detriments, will outweigh any of the benefits. And of course, we know about the Ramban's interpretation of kedoshim tiyu. Shalok called dover shalek isur furish. Even if there's no explicit isur, that doesn't mean that it's heter mamish, and you should allowed to get involved in it. One must really get a broader perspective and analyze what's going to be the end. Mayu sofa maisa chas v'sholem efshalot tzis mizeh kilkul, and therefore yeshlim noam mizeh. So Rav Moshe is certainly lukewarm, if not absolutely negative, about the idea of renting space in a Reformed synagogue for purpose of a Jewish educational school. Most of what we've done in this year is summarized here in the Hegyonei HaParsha that we mentioned before. He has a section here which is called Likane Salbeis Tiflosim Makom Telekat Slamim. And as we said before, even if the temple or the church doesn't have a cross in that specific place, nevertheless, it's also, whether it's of Israel Davodas or not, we saw is Machlokas Rishonim, and we accept the Shach La'aloch that it's not considered Avodah Zarah. And again, that's what we're talking about, entering into a church. As far as renting space in a building that's owned by the church, or using the Migrash that's owned by the church, we should stay far away from those places. He says that, you know, in these banquet halls that you want to use that belong to the church, there'll be pictures there, there'll be all sorts of getchkes and slumim, and we got to really avoid that completely. As far as voting in a church, there we have a tshuva of the Yaskil Avdi, and he is very, very outspoken about the Isur. You'll see it also in the Mishnah Lochos. Kalfi shal bechiros le'iria ola medina shenesuna bi'ulam hamachuba le'knesia shal notzrim. And therefore, it's asur. You can't go in there. It has the same din of a makom of base avodah zara mamish. We mentioned the tshuva of the Igros Moshe that's opposed to children playing in the field out there in the ulam that is owned by the church. Mischake yeladim bekadur beulam ashayach letiflo diavoskov vare asur afim ein sham tsira. Tsuro says Rav Moshe, harchek me'oleh darkecha. And basically, we've covered most of what we wanted to cover today. We should be zochim mitzvah Hashem to learn Hashem's Torah properly and come to the right halachic conclusions. We, I think, succeeded in creating at least a framework of source material, starting with the sugya of Avodah Zarah, going all the way to the tshuvas of Rav Moshe, to begin to analyze this very pressing halacha that is especially relevant to travelers and tourists who like to go to Europe and other Christian sites and see Michelangelo in Rome and so forth and so on. And some of the severe, very severe isurim that might be involved in visiting these places. So anyone who's planning a trip over there, you know, to Rome or wherever, he should really be well advised and dedicate himself and his energies to study this sugya very well and ask his rabbis and his poskim what he's allowed to do and what he's not allowed to do. All right, we'll stop here.